freedom. Listen, it's the Freedom Bell.
Aye, the Freedom Bell, my friends. And this is Paul Revere, called back from the shadows by the sound of the Freedom Bell, to cry again a warning that the price of freedom is eternal vigilance.
Destination Freedom is presented by station WMAQ in the interest of human freedom the world over. Paul Revere is the symbol of warning, ready to ride down the skies to shout an alarm. His destination, now and forever, freedom.
There's lots of things that are implied in our way of life that aren't just spelled out for us. Sometimes we take them for granted. And sometimes we get bullheaded and go ahead and do them when everybody else says we're foolish. But that's the American way. Now you take the right to do the job we happen to think is the job for us. There isn't some commissar to tell us to be something or other because he thinks so, or to say where we got to work. That's up to each one of us individually. All right, now you take Fred Custer. Fred was a farm boy in one of our sort of backward areas. Husky lad, never had much education, but a good farmer.
Hey there, Mary. What you doing?
Feeding the chickens. It's time.
Yeah, I'll say it's time. Matter of fact, it's past. What's the matter, sis? You're looking peaky today.
Oh, it ain't nothing, Fred. Shouldn't you be out helping Dad with the plowing?
He sent me back to get him a drink of water. Why don't you take it out to him, Mary? I'll finish up at yours.
No, I can finish. You take him the water. He'll want you to help him. Besides, I gotta help Mom with some preserves soon as I finish.
You're looking green about the gills, sis.
Well, got a little pain in my stomach, that's all.
You best get that water or Dad will see you.
Any mail, Fred?
Oh, just the evening paper. Something from Jones Feed Store. Advertisement, I reckon. Here you are.
Thanks, son.
You fellas ready to eat? Hands washed?
All righty, Mom.
Where's Mary, Dad?
She went to bed. Stomach giving her some pain.
I thought she looked peaky today.
All right, supper's on the table. Come along now.
Mom! Mom, come quick, I'm sick.
And it's Mary.
She sounds bad. Let's go.
No, you two go eat. I'll see what's wrong. Just stick to the stomach.
Your mother's right, Fred. Come on, let's eat.
Reckon ain't nothing we can do.
No, you take women, they got their troubles. Best thing a man can do is stay out from underfoot. Come along.
Dad, I reckon we'd best call Dr. Dale. The child's real sick.
No, we don't want to be bothering the doc. What seems to be the trouble?
Well, I don't know. Never saw nothing like it. She's all doubled over. The stomach's so sore, you can't touch it.
You give her some bicarbonate?
I can't find none.
Well, I'll find it for you.
Oh, I think we ought to call the doctor, Dad.
All right.
Fred, you call the doc. I'll find the bicarbonate for you.
All right, Dad.
Well, Beth, would you ring me, Doc Dale? Thanks. Hello, Mrs. Dale. This is Fred Custer. Is the doctor there?
The Martin? Well, gosh, that's about 30 miles. When do you reckon he'll be home? Oh, baby. Might not get home at all tonight. Well, thanks, Mrs. Dale. Oh, Mary's not feeling so good. Mom and Dad thought the doctor should see her. Will you tell him when he gets in? Thank you. Bye.
Did you get him, Fred? Did you get the doc?
Well, he's over to Martin's, Dad. Mrs. Martin's expecting tonight.
Well, call him there. Your sister just fainted. I don't like the way she looks. Here, give me that phone. Bess, this is Tom Custer. Doc Dale's over to the Martin's. Ring him for me, if you please. What? He got no phone? But this is an emergency. My Mary's bad. I got to get the doc right away. Ain't there some place nearby I could get a message to him? I see. All right, thank you, Bess. Just just as bad, Fred. You know how to get to Martin's place?
Sure, Dad.
You get in the Ford and get there just as fast as you can. Bring Doc back with you. Hurry!
I don't see how I can leave here now, Fred. Mrs. Martin's due any minute, and she usually has a hard time. If that baby came while I was gone, they might both die.
But, Doc, Mary is bad.
What's the trouble with her?
I don't know. She's sick to her stomach, doubled over. Mom says you can't touch her stomach, and she's fainted.
Dear Lord, acute appendicitis.
Hmm? What's that?
It's two lives against one. Oh, God, what should I do?
Ain't no other doc for 100 miles. You gotta come.
Doc, come quick. It's time.
You wait here, Fred. I'll be as quick as I can.
I've been gone 3 hours, Doc. You reckon we're in time?
I hope so, Fred. Mrs. Martin and her little girl would have died if I'd gone when you wanted.
I'm sorry. I was thinking of Mary. I'm glad they're all right.
I'm thinking about Mary, too. Is this all the faster you can go?
How is she, Doc?
She's gone, Tom. There was nothing I could do for her. Ruptured appendix. I'm sorry.
Gone? You mean she's dead?
Yes, Tom.
Can't be. Not Mary.
I'm sorry, son.
Why didn't you come sooner? Why didn't you come when Fred came for you?
A mother and child would have died if I had, Tom. You better go into your wife now. She needs you.
Mary? My little girl, Mary.
Doc? What would have saved my sister's life?
Oh, surgery. If I could have operated in time, it would have been simple.
Doc, what can I do so this don't never happen again?
Find me another doctor. Find me a little clinic in the center of the county where people can come and have babies or have their appendix out so I don't have to do the impossible every day and every night. And folks won't die because it is impossible.
All right, Doc. I'll get you your clinic. And I'll be your other doctor. Mary.
I know how you feel about your sister, son, and believe me, I'm sorry, but don't go tilting at windmills.
I don't rightly know what you mean, Doc.
You haven't even a high school diploma. Then there's college, medical school, internship. It isn't easy to be a doctor, Fred. And your folks are poor. They couldn't pay for it.
Well, finished 8th grade.
That's not quite enough, Fred.
Yes, it is, Doc. By the time I got through 8th grade, I found out if an American citizen had a mind to do a certain job, nobody couldn't say he wasn't allowed to do it. Well, I got a mind to be a doctor. And I'm an American citizen, so I'm going to be a doctor.
Fred, nice to see you. You sit down.
Thank you, Principal Thorpe.
I want you to know how sorry I was to hear about Mary.
Well, Mom and Dad asked me to say thank you for the flowers.
I wish I could have done more.
You can, sir.
Huh? Well, sir, what can I do, Fred?
How long will it take me to get a high school diploma?
4 years. You've never attended high school, I believe.
No, sir. I quit after 8th grade, at least.
I'm not quite sure I understand what you're getting at, Fred.
Well, Mr. Thorpe, there wasn't but one reason Mary died. She didn't have no doctor in time. Doc Dale was over to the Martin's place, other side of the county, where Mrs. Martin was having a baby. If he'd have left, she and the baby both would have died. So he stayed. There wasn't no other doctor for Mary, so she was the one that died.
Yes, I know.
Well, Doc said he could have saved Mary if he'd operated in time. But he couldn't be two places at once. Somebody had to die.
But if we had another doctor hereabouts, not as many would die. I aim to be that other doctor.
I see. But, Fred, you're a farmer. Think of the amount of work ahead. 4 years of high school, 4 more of college, then medical school, internship. It's a staggering task and costly. Where would you get the money?
Don't worry none about the money, sir. I'll work. I'll get the money.
I believe you will, Fred. Well, I'll do what I can for you. I'll enter you as a freshman in high school at mid-year.
Well, thank you, Principal, but that ain't what I had in mind.
Huh?
I said I ain't got 4 years to waste on high school. I want to take the examinations to enter State University this June.
But that's impossible. You have to have a diploma to take those exams.
I know that, sir. That's why I want you to help me to get a diploma between now and June.
What? I can't do a thing like that.
Why not, sir?
Well, I mean, after all, we have rules. I never heard of such an idea.
Well, tell me this, sir. Ain't a school supposed to help a community?
Of course it is.
And don't this community need another doctor?
Yes, but...
So if this school helps me to get to be a doctor for hereabouts, wouldn't you call that helping?
Yes, of course, I suppose so. You really think you could pass the senior exams by June?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'd have to take it up with the Board of Education. Hey, you couldn't do it.
If I don't, I'll start freshman year in the fall.
An exception would have to be made.
Well, folks' lives is worth an exception, don't you think, sir?
Yes, Fred, I do. I'll do what I can for you. I think you deserve it. Mr. Bender, this is Principal Thorpe. Fine, thank you, sir. And you? Good. What I called about, there's a young man who wants to take the final exams this June and get his diploma so he can go to the state in the fall. No, not exactly. He's only completed 8th grade. Please, Mr. Bender, I know it's a bit unusual, but this lad wants to be a doctor. He has a strong personal reason. And after all, what is it to lose? Lord knows if he makes it, we could use another doctor, or more. Mr. Bender, Chancellor Billings, I ask for this meeting with you today in order to discuss the case of Fred Custer.
Custer? I don't know any Custer.
And I called you about him some months ago, sir. He wanted to get his diploma after only 4 months' work.
Oh, yes, I remember the case now. What happened? The exams are over, aren't they?
Yes, they're over. Custer passed in biology and chemistry. He failed everything else.
Well, he attempted the impossible and didn't make it. That's all there is to it.
No, that's not quite all, Mr. Bender. With the exception of English, in which he did very badly, he came close to passing in everything else.
Oh?
While he didn't qualify for a diploma technically, he completed 3.5 years of high school in 4 months.
Sounds like quite an achievement, but what do you want us to do?
I want your permission to give Custer his diploma so he can enter state in the fall.
Oh, look here, Thorpe. We have rules.
Custer doesn't quite understand all the rules.
Miss Thorpe, did you say this lad's name is Fred Custer?
That's right, Chancellor.
And he completed almost a full high school course in 4 months?
Yes, sir.
There's a Fred Custer from your district, Mr. Thorpe, who was brought to my attention just the other day. He has 3 jobs, and his first quarter tuition is on deposit, even though he hasn't been admitted yet. I think the university would be richer for a young man like that. Let's admit him.
Mr. Custer, can you tell us who wrote My Last Duchess?
Well, I don't rightly know, ma'am. But if I was to guess, I'd say Shakespeare. He wrote most stuff like that.
Mr. Custer, can you explain to us the meaning of Hamlet's soliloquy, which begins, to be or not to be?
Well, ma'am, I don't say I can explain it from what you'd call a literary angle, but as a man, I'd say he needed a doctor.
Let us permit Mr. Custer to continue. Continue, sir.
Thank you, ma'am. This Hamlet was trying to make up his mind whether to live or die.
Well, that isn't a question where I come from. Folks want to live. But lots of times they ain't got a choice. They get sick, and then they have to die because there's no doctor to take care of them. Well, Hamlet died, but maybe if he'd had a good doctor when he was thinking to be or not to be, a psychiatrist maybe, he'd lived longer and done more good. Maybe that's why Shakespeare called his play a tragedy.
I wish I had thought of that, Mr. Custer. Now, when we come to the section where Polonius advises his son...
Custer, I have something to tell you.
Yes, sir?
This is a little difficult to say. I don't want to hurt your feelings.
Reckon we won't worry about feelings, Professor. Just say what you got to say.
Yeah, just so. Well, as you know, it's a rule of this college that every graduate must pass freshman English in order to get a degree.
I heard that.
You've taken freshman English every year for 4 years, and if anything, your grades have gotten worse.
Reckon where I come from, we ain't long on grammar.
I don't think you realize the seriousness of the situation. Graduation is a week away. It will be impossible to grant you a degree in view of the fact that you have not met the requirements in English.
You mean I don't get my degree?
I'm sorry, but that is the case.
But that ain't fair. I worked hard, harder than any man in my class.
Possibly you just aren't the college type.
What's a college type? A man who works hard for an education, who can learn, who has a plan for his life that can help folks. Wouldn't you call that the college type? What's passing a grammar course got to do with it?
After all, Custer, it's the mark of a college graduate that he can speak our language correctly.
And that mark, likely as not, is all some of them got out of 4 years on their daddy's money.
I think that's beside the point. The rule is very clear. You will not receive your degree.
Professor, I want to be a doctor. I've got the ability to be a doctor. That adds up that as an American citizen, I got a right to be a doctor. I'm going to be one. Chancellor Billings, I did 4 years of high in less than 4 months. Well, I didn't pass everything, but what I did do convinced you that I was entitled to a try at college.
That's very true.
While I've been in college, I've worked hard. I've passed every course except English. Ain't that right?
Yes, but the rules of the university are very strict.
You know that my people need doctors. Now, which is more important, that a man can help folks or talks proper?
Tell me this, Custer. You've done well in your other subjects. What's the problem with English?
Well, I've studied science, so I'd know some of the basic ideas. I studied Latin so as I'd understand prescriptions, mathematics to get my proportions straight, economics to know why folks are poor, history to know what's ailed folks from time to time, all of it to help me be a better doctor, to understand what to do to help people. And I've worked to pay my way.
You've worked hard.
Well, I don't regret it, Chancellor, but somewhere along the line I had to cut down. I didn't waste my time on grammar. I can talk to folks, and they'll understand me.
I think they will. I've talked to the dean of the medical school. He thinks you'll make a doctor. So do I. As Chancellor of State University, I say you have fulfilled your English requirement. You will receive your degree on Tuesday.
I beg your pardon, ma'am. I was just trying to find my seat. D-15?
Well, please try to control your big feet.
I'm right sorry. Is this D-15?
You know, since I'm sitting in D-14, it's quite possible.
Thank you, ma'am. You fixing to be a doctor, too?
What's surprising about that?
Nothing, I reckon. I just didn't look to see a lady in here.
Why not? Women have as much right as men to help humanity. Often they're better at it. It's men like you. You said lady. Did you mean something by that?
Where I come from, ma'am, we got nothing but ladies.
The class will come to order. Today, You're entering on your education as doctors. The road will be hard and demanding.
Fred, I'm scared.
Because we got the section this morning?
Mm-hmm.
Well, shucks, Vera, they ain't nothing to be scared of. They're all dead.
Isn't anything. Not ain't nothing.
All right, honey, isn't anything. But still ain't nothing to be scared of. I'll be right there beside you.
Well, I'm glad of that, Fred. Well, here we go.
Order. Order, please. Come to order. Each cadaver has the name of two students. You will work in pairs. I will instruct you on the operations to be performed from this chart. You will find an adequate kit of surgical instruments by each table. I might add that for many of you, this may be the most trying experience of your medical incision at this point, being careful not to cut deep enough to injure the muscle tissue. We will proceed. Just the first incision, then I will inspect. Go ahead.
Gee, you were right, Fred. This isn't so bad.
No. Not so bad.
See, I make the incision here, just so deep. Carry it down to here. Fred, are you paying attention?
Yeah, I'm paying attention.
Then I begin to fall back. Fred, what's the matter? You look green. Fred! Doctor! He's fainted!
Oh, it ain't no use, Vera. They showed me. I can't be a doctor.
That isn't true, Fred. You'll be a fine doctor. Well, lots of people pass out the first time they try dissection.
I will never be able to cut into a body.
Fred, have you ever been afraid?
Sure, lots of times.
Well, what time do you remember the most?
Well, I guess maybe it was a time when I was a kid. I tried to ride Dad's mare bareback, and she threw me.
And what did you do about it?
I got back on and rode her. You see, Vera, you got to do that with a horse, else you get horse shy.
Look, Fred, you've done things to get to be a doctor that most men not only wouldn't do, but couldn't. You have a real service to do for your people. And you say that, as an American, you have a right to be a doctor. But you don't have a right to be dog catcher if you quit the first time something scares you.
Oh, but you don't understand how I felt, honey.
I know a man is what he makes of himself. And you got up and rode that mare. Well, you've just been thrown again. Now get back up and ride. Oh, cancerous growth. Nobody knows. How should I?
Coronary occlusion occurs when the condition...
Oh,
I'll never be a doctor. Golly, I'm beat. What a day.
You look tired, Fred. Sit down, we'll have some coffee.
Thanks, honey. These hospitals sure do like to find the tough jobs for us last-year med students.
Well, you can't blame them. Somebody's got to do the dirty work. And I guess except for student nurses, we're about the lowest form of life there is.
I'll never make it, Vera. I'll never pass in surgery. I just know it.
Oh, now that's silly. You're just tired and a little depressed.
I know you want to cheer me up, honey, but it's no good. I'll never make a doctor.
What? You can talk like that after all you've done? Worked your way through college, brought yourself almost to the end of your senior year in medical school? How dare you say you won't make a doctor?
Well, maybe I've done too much, honey. Maybe I'm tired now.
Fred.
Yeah.
How many times have you asked me to marry you?
I don't know. At least a million, I'd say.
The only thing standing between you and your M.D., between you and the great work you've planned for your life, is this course in surgery. Well, the day they post a passing grade for you in surgery, that day I'll marry you. And I'll go with you to help you in your work.
Do you mean that, Vera?
Yes, sir. I do.
I'm going to pass that course, honey. And I'm going to hold you to your word.
Swear after me. I swear by Apollo, physician, by Aesculapius, by health, by panacea, and by all the gods and goddesses, making them my witnesses, that I will carry out according to my ability. I will abstain from all intentional wrongdoing and harm, and whatsoever I shall see or hear in the course of my life.
Fred! Fred, congratulations, boy. You made it. You're a doctor.
Oh, Doc, I sure am glad to see you. It was sure nice of you to come here today.
I came to pay my respects to Dr. Custer.
Which one?
Good.
Well, there's two Dr. Custers, Doc. Meet Dr. Vera Custer. We got married last night.
My goodness.
Hello, Doc. I know a lot about you, you know.
We figured you could use two new doctors back in the county. That'll give someone time to go out and get that clinic.
Two new doctors. I never thought I'd live to see the day. Fred, how did you do it? From a poor farm boy to a doctor of medicine. Mary would be proud of you today. But how did you do it?
Doc, here in America, if a man has a mind to do a job, he can do it if he'll work at it. After Mary died, I had a mind to be a doctor. Try to stop that sort of thing. I worked. And because I live in America, I'm a doctor. Now, let's go after that clinic.
Fred Custer was a farm boy from one of our backward areas, but he knew what it meant to be an American. Fred Custer knew that if he or anyone else had the mind to be something or do something, it could be done in America. The choice is up to the individual. Fred Custer became a doctor because that's what he wanted to be. That's the American way. If you've got the ability and the will to work at it, you can get an education and work at the job of your own choice. Aye, we have made some progress along the road toward our destination, freedom.
Paul Revere, portrayed by Maurice Copeland, will return next Sunday to narrate another chapter in the story we call Destination Freedom. Presented by Station WMAQ in the interest of human freedom the world over. Today's script was written by Bob McKee and produced under the direction of John Cowan. Russ Reed played Fred Custer. Other members of the cast were Don Gallagher, Eloise Kummer, Arthur Peterson, and Alma Platt. The special music was composed by Emil Soderstrom and was played by Helen Morton and Jose Bethencourt. Our engineer was George Wilson, sound effects by Cliff Mueller. This is Bill Grisky reminding you that the sound of the Freedom Bell is your invitation to follow Paul Revere along the road to Destination Freedom. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.